We're going to talk A-League now, and no better person to do that than the Herald Sun's own Matt Winley. G'day, Matty.
Hello, Ro. How are you, mate?
Very well, very well. Hey, just good. Easing into the KB fill-in chair here.
Excellent. It's a big chair to fill, but I'm sure you'll do it well.
Now, you'd be pleased to know I've been pumping up the A-League a fair bit in the last couple of days
I've been on.
No, well, it's in all seriousness, I think it's been a really good season. And look, the Sydney Derby wasn't the greatest game, I didn't think, but I reckon Friday night more than made up for it. What an amazing game between the Victory and the Roar.
Yeah, crazy. We've had a couple of Friday night crackers in at Amy Park in the last few weeks. There was that Perth Glory Melbourne City game a few weeks ago. It was 3-3 with missed penalties and whatnot. And then, yeah, this time, Friday night, 5 goals in the first half. Victory goes 3-3 in the first 27 minutes. Brisbane pull back a couple before half time and then still stays the same remarkably in the second half despite, you know, Bessart Berisha being crazily sent off and Victory having to hold on for the last half an hour with 10 men. So a big result for them because when you couple that result with Thursday night's result with Melbourne City going down to Adelaide United, such a massive gap now between second place Victory and third place City, 9 points, and then if Victory go ahead in Wellington and win tomorrow, which they should, that's 12 points. And you can just shut the gate on the top two. It's just all about Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory in terms of who finishes top and second.
Yeah, well, I want to get back on the Berisha send-off because it's obviously the major talking point. But in a nutshell, what's happened to Melbourne City? I mean, they've really tailed off, haven't they?
Yeah. Since the FFA Cup win, they've had 7 games, I think, now. They've only won one. They've drawn 5 and they've only lost 1. But yeah, they've lost 2. Sorry, but they've stagnated for some reason. That performance that they had in round 2 against Melbourne Victory, where they absolutely blew Victory off the park, City had Stadium 4-1. That remains the best A-League performance I've seen from a club probably ever. They were unbelievable that night. But since that time, I think teams have realised the attacking threat that Melbourne City possesses, and they've figured out a game plan to really stifle them. They sit back in numbers, they frustrate them, they let them have as much possession pretty much as they want, and then they hit them on the counter-attack where they're a little bit disorganised in defence. And it's working quite well. You saw that, you know, plainly and simply with the goal that Adelaide United scored to win the game on Thursday night, a massive counter-attack that Mark Ochien finished off brilliantly. So Melbourne City got to figure out a way to break down teams that want to come in and just sit in and frustrate them in defence, park the bus, I suppose, is the older cliche term. And whether or not that's with a new coach or not remains to be seen, because obviously now in the background we've got City trying to find a replacement for John Van Skip. So whether or not this run of form, you know, accentuates that search, I'm not sure.
Very, very unsettled. I mean, it seems too dependent on Fornaroli. And you mentioned that amazing 4-1 win, the Tim Cahill special that night. It's fair to say he hasn't proved the influence they'd hoped.
It's interesting. I wrote a piece about this a couple of weeks ago and copped a bit of flack for it. But I reckon he's been all right if you go on purely the expectations that realistically you should have on a 37-year-old coming into the A-League. He was never going to dominate. Mm. He was never going to be the best player in the league. It was a signing that, you know, he could add a little bit on the field and clearly would add a lot off the field. There was all that layers, and I think he's done that in terms of, you know, that he's been everywhere in terms of publicity, going places where no A-League player goes in terms of the mainstream media. And I think the fact that, you know, he scored in the big games, you know, his header won them the game in the FFA Cup, you know, that pays. That's the worth the weight in gold. That goal that he scored in round 2 was, you know, a promoter's dream. He scored in Western Sydney. He scored in the other derby. So I think he's doing okay on the field, considering, you know, what should be the expectations, as I say, for a 37-year-old coming towards the end of his career.
Let's talk about the Berisha send-off, and fortunately that suspension now, or the red card, being rescinded, so he's available for the game in Wellington. But, gee, it was a shocking decision. And I've got to say, watching games and tweeting a fair bit, the level of discontent with refereeing at the moment, I can't remember people being angrier about it.
No, couldn't agree more. This has been a really poor season from a refereeing perspective. Everybody knows it. Everybody's complaining about it. What can you do? Like, it's not as if we're going out there and trying to make mistakes. For whatever reason, they're making a hell of a lot of blues this year that they haven't in the past. It doesn't matter if it's the full-time refs or the part-time refs. Everyone seems to be making mistakes. So, I don't know. It's like hitting your head against a brick wall. I don't know what we can do about it. But as for Friday night, it was a really poor decision. It really wasn't even crisp-based in a sense, he took the word from his assistant referee, who could have only possibly seen Luke de Vere holding his face after coming together with Besar Berisha. And look, he may have been hit, like, might have been Berisha's shoulder hitting, you know, him on the bridge of the nose, which, as we all know, hurt. But to be fair to Luke de Vere, he didn't try to get Berisha sent off. The two of them argued about it for about 5 seconds, and you could almost, I was for some reason watching those two at the time, and you could see de Vere almost saying, yep, cool, just watch it, mate. Like, be careful, whatever, and then get on with it. And he almost said that stuff to the referee, and he was shocked, Luke de Vere, when Chris Beck came over and gave the red card. So, because I think he knew that then he was going to be derided as a diver and everything like that. And clearly he was booed roundly for the rest of the night. It was a toxic atmosphere after that.
Yeah. You can't help but think there's a few too many sort of attention-seeking referees assistants, I think.
I think there's a bit of that too. Yeah, I think there's a bit of that too. There needs to be a massive look at it. And look, this is potentially one of those things that when video refereeing comes in the season, later on in the A-League season, it can't come soon enough, because I think that should be one of those decisions that was just blatantly wrong that would take 2 seconds to realise, yeah, okay, that shouldn't have been a red card, and the game continues on as is. So common sense, you know, the FFA get bagged and they say they don't have a lot of common sense sometimes. This was, and you've got to applaud FFA, to put the hand up, mistake was made. They rescinded it because nobody in the world thinks that Besar Berisha should be missing the next two games for Melbourne Victory. So he, as we speak, is on a plane to Wellington as Victory prepares to take on Phoenix tomorrow night.
Great stuff, mate. We know you're multitasking at the moment, so we'll let you go. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again soon.
No dramas, mate. Have a good day.